You're listening to Around Comics, episode 108. This is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
I'm sitting on the opposite side of the table, and my mojo is all mixed up.
I know.
I'm staring at little... Scotty.
Hey, baby.
We're both leaning into a microphone. Now that was like we're singing harmony.
It's like Earth 3 Around Comics. Everything is the same but opposite now.
Right now. We're doing a little sway.
It's Dreamgirls all over again.
Sitting in on the panel today is the current artist of the new X-Men, Mr. Scotty Young.
Cable Deadpool cover artist.
My mojo is well and fine.
You're in your regular spot.
Yeah, I'm in my regular
Tom
spot.
Tom and I have switched.
I'm a tall guy. I beat the shit out of people who try to get in on my spot.
Well, folks, in just a couple moments, we're going to be talking with one of the professors and a couple graduate students from the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Do we call him doctor?
I don't believe he is a doctor. Oh. He is professor.
Professor.
Professor Jeremy.
Professor.
Is he like Professor X?
Are you in a wheelchair? Oh,
shit, are you bald?
And the crab goes
foot
quiet.
In mouth now. Yeah. Insert foot in mouth.
Oh, so we will be talking about the education of sequential art in just a couple moments. First, I'd like to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
My best friend sent me the Spider-Man omnibus last week.
Your new best friend.
My new best friend.
God, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. My best friend is a company.
Cameron, can you call me?
Just like you pay for everything, you pay for friends.
Yes. And dot sex. Com, my friend.
I haven't talked to my best friend.
Dot com, my friend.
Well, I usually talk to my... goodness gracious. I usually talk to my friends at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. And
no one likes you here.
And Around Comics is recorded here every Friday at 7 o'clock. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Maybe.
I'm just
kidding. I mean, some people wander in. It's like, him again. We got Ted here.
I love Ted. And he's wearing his Captain America.
Ted even brought us beer tonight.
What?
He brought himself beer because he's going to get hammered, wicked hammered.
Annihilated.
Usually Ted. Ted usually like saunters in with a bottle of wine. So I'm like, man, Ted's ready to party tonight. So, classic. And then we've got Eric from the Comic Book Queers here.
Cock, yeah.
This is a street show.
Is that on your business cards?
Cock, yeah. It's a street
Show.
Yeah. Me and Scotty sing on the same side. Seems kind of weird. Speaking of kind of weird, the Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Thursday at www.aroundcomics.com.
And I would like to mention and give a big thanks to Brian Bowles. He has requested some time off from doing the Long Box of Love.
Two ladies fired. He can't quit.
Yeah, so actually there won't be a Long Box of Love for this episode.
You made me look like a dick reading that.
No, I don't know why he actually
Sal was questioning why I left it in the notes, but
yeah.
Did he request time off? Like, you guys pay him? Do you guys pay him?
No.
Just tell him to fuck off, Brian.
No.
Well, no,
actually, that's kind of what he said, Scott.
He's not a dick artist. He's a nice artist.
I'm backing up my boy, Brian.
No, we've really appreciated Brian doing it for so long. He did it for a year. He did a great
What's
job.
He
it was awesome.
Time off for?
He's just busy. He's got other stuff going on. He's doing the Small Press Idol. He's got a book that he's working on for that and some other stuff coming up. So
it's curing cancer.
Maybe. And that's slightly more important than our show. Not much.
Yeah.
But
not more important.
So anyway, thank you so much, Brian Bowles. We will, of course, have the Long Box of Love. The
archive.
The archive, so you can go and
the Absolute Editions coming out in San Diego.
You know, I did mention that we were interested in collecting them at some point.
Can I do a fill-in?
Would be fun.
I'll do a fill-in.
Dude. Yeah, absolutely. Fill-in Long Box of Love.
Greg Land style. It's just like magazine covers. And.
All right, Scotty, you heard it here first. Scotty Young, our new Long Box of Love artist. Thank you, Scotty.
A fill-in.
I think we could get a month out of – we could get Scotty to do one. Tim Seeley could do one.
Mike?
Norton will make do one.
I think we're breaking some exclusive contracts here.
Whatever we're not paying them.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Okay. Nice.
They can do anything for free.
Oh, cancel my fill-in.
No, sorry. You've already made an agreement. What's that? Oh, and also we want to mention our hero contest.
Is
I know
it still
we're
going on, or
it
are
is?
We just reading this to announce at the
end? No, it's no this is ago. Still going on.
It's going till the end of June.
Till the end of June. The contest rules are simple. Make a donation to the Hero Initiative at heroinitiative.org and send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com letting us know that you did. Everyone that makes a donation is entered into a drawing that will take place at the end of June. The contest is being sponsored by InStockTrades.com, and they're including $100 in gift certificates, good for anything, at InStockTrades.com. In addition to the $50 gift certificate, the first place winner will receive a prize pack, including a one-of-a-kind hardcover edition of Jeffrey Brown's I'm Going to Be Small, and an autographed Scotty Young sketchbook. Yeah!
Yeah!
They're hard
and
to get.
Second prize.
I have thousands in my closet.
Second prize is a $50 gift certificate to InStockTrades.com. And I think we're going to be throwing some other stuff in.
Yeah, other first prizes, I believe. I know we've got a Mike Norton.
Handcuffed
sketch.
Up.
He's sketched on the Fallen Sun, the Captain America.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Captain
is it Captain America hugging Easy E?
Maybe.
I think Chris Burnham was gonna do an Elephant Man sketch.
We're going to twist some arms.
And
people who have already have donated, and we would like to thank in a special way with our voice, Connor Egan. Fred
if you
Walsh,
were here, it would
Matt
be
Bell,
different.
Trevor Pearson, Simon McDonald, Jonathan the Cursing Pastor Conrad, Matt Kramer, and Braxton Harrison.
That's a thank sweet you all for donating to Hero.
Braxton's fake. Yeah,
Braxton has the best name, and he made a.
Don't say how much.
A big contribution to
$5,000.
Not quite. Not quite that.
No, but in Chris's,
thread on the forum.
Thread on the forum where he tried to not say what Braxton did. It was just like, Braxton's a hero. Hint, hint. And so nobody knew what he did. And Braxton came on there and made up a story about how he like pulled some strippers out of a burning strip club.
Yeah.
And no one got that it was a joke. Everyone wanted to see the video.
I saved
pizza
from not being eaten.
Delicious.
Just so everyone knows, we have to this point we've raised almost $400 to benefit the Hero Initiative. So we are just a little over $100 away from my $500 goal. So what's
what happens
that goal?
When we get the $500 goal?
Balloon.
Pizza party.
Ice cream.
Bud Light for everyone.
I don't know.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of.
Okay, guys, on to our main topic. For anyone who has an interest in the education of creating comics or is interested in pursuing a career in sequential arts,
hell no.
Today's episode is for you. The Savannah College of Art and Design is one of the most prestigious design schools in the world, and among their many fields of study, they offer a program dedicated to sequential art, encompassing graphic novels, comic books, comic strips, children's books, and storyboards for animation and film. SCAD is one of the few institutions that offers both undergraduate and graduate degrees in this specialized field. Around Comics is happy to welcome Professor of Sequential Art, Jeremy Mullins, and graduate students Mia Paluzzi and Jarrett Williams. So everyone, thanks for being on the show, and welcome to Around Comics.
Thanks, appreciate it. And I think I can speak for my two friends to the left and to the right, and we're just very thankful that you guys are having us on the show and put us on a forum, and we just appreciate being y'all's guests.
Well, let's set the scene. What type of chairs are you sitting in?
What type of chair are we sitting in?
Are you sitting?
Comfy ones. Yeah. Really, really plush, nice office comfy ones.
Fucking art students.
We're in like, you know, metal chairs and a plastic table in a comic shop.
Are they Aeron chairs?
No.
They suck them. They suck them.
Well, guys, I tell you what. Let's start with the actual program. Jeremy, you as the professor, can you tell us a little bit about the sequential art program at the Savannah College of Art and Design?
Sure. We have both graduate and undergraduate programs of study. It is part. Our department is part of obviously a larger college, Savannah College of Art and Design. It differs from like your Center for Cartoon Studies or your Kubert School, where the sequential kids are not the only students on campus. I mean, you have film students and sculpture students and painting students and graphic design students, and what's really cool is in addition to your sequential work, there's a really, really, really strong foundation study that every student goes through. First and foremost, in those kind of classes, that's where you'll master your anatomy, your color theory, your 2D design, your 3D design, your still life, master materials and techniques. So by the time that the students step into the major coursework for sequential art, all the raw skills that they need are already in place. And then from there, we have a whole array. If you visit our website, scad.edu, you can go through and see a very, very detailed course listing of all the various courses that we offer. And we have air show classes. I won't list all the classes for you. You guys can look that up on the web. But, you know, we have just a large variety. Early ones are, intro to sequential art, visual storytelling. From there, it'll get more specialized backgrounds and props. And we have, a superhero-specific class, a manga-specific class. We just have a whole there's a great variety. So if you go to our website, you can see everything that we have to offer. We have classes that are just inking. We have classes that just digital coloring and typography. We get into all aspects of the comic book production process. And at the graduate level, the bulk of the graduate program are this what we call grad studio classes. At the graduate level, we generally have people who are coming in that already have a degree from some other art discipline not always, but typically. So they're of a more refined caliber, they've been professionals, a lot of them. And so most of the time they come in with a real strong sense of what they want to do. A lot of the undergraduates come in, they're excited about comics, they like to read comics. But, just like all of us when we go to college, once you get exposed to things, you find yourself taking, a different path sometimes than you might expect. The graduate students come in pretty focused, and we want to give them the opportunity, if they come in and say, hey, I really want to do what I need to do to create an original graphic novel and market it successfully. We want to give them the room and the flexibility to do that, but within our environment to where they can get feedback from fellow students and trained faculty, and so we can help them through that process, but we want to make sure that they're able to do that. But they also have required classes like the undergrads, required graduate scripting, graduate life drawing, some of those classes, but the prereqs are not as numerous.
How long has the sequential art program been in existence?
The sequential art program's been in existence for about 15 years. I'm unfamiliar with I'm the new guy to the department, but I don't know exactly how many years, but if I were to estimate, somewhere like around 15 years. It was started by a guy named Bob Pendarvis and another fellow named Mark Neese. And, Mark Neese, wrote some Batman story. He's the core professor, he's the writer for the professor. novel out now, Trailers, that won a Young Readers Award. It's really good. Bristol Board Jungle was another one that NBM put out. Well, him and Bob started the department and founded it, and then it's just built up since then.
I'm looking back at my own college experience. Do you have an equivalent of something like Rocks for Jocks, like the easy class that everyone takes? We had a class about dirt, and it was the one that all the football players took. I imagine you probably don't have classes like that at your school, the one where everyone takes because they know they can get an A in it. I imagine it's more challenging.
As a professor, I don't think it's fair for me to answer this.
Is this a question for Jarrett or Mia?
This might be a question for Jarrett or Mia.
I don't think we have classes like that.
I mean, there are people who, you know, slack off, period. That's just the type of people that they are. But I don't
think we actually have a class that you would call, like, an easy A. I actually transferred into SCAD for my undergrad degree. I'm a graduate now. And I don't remember there ever being an EVA class or a class even my friends outside of the sequential department mentioned that we would take for like easy credit.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, for Mia and then also Jarrett, what has been your favorite class during your time at SCAD?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Actually, I think exploring the narrative, which is one of our grad-level scripting classes, was one of my favorite classes. Basically, any class I've taken with Mark has been one of my favorite classes, but I really enjoy writing, so, you know, and those classes always have a really good rapport. But this last semester in exploring the narrative, we had a lot of great people in our grad class, and I think it was one of the best writing classes I've ever sat through. We had a lot of camaraderie and a lot of good information passing between people, and I think we ended up with some really good stories in that class.
Really good.
Okay. You, Jarrett?
Oh, yeah. I could think of two kind of off the top. I took their Professor Ray Goto's class, Storyboarding for Animation. When I first came into the program, I was really trying to push, like, more of the mainstream style and, like, going for, like, that Marvel crowd. And it just really wasn't working for me. And that class really forced me to, like, simplify to, like, linear forms and just really, like, tone things down a notch, and my style kind of worked its way out ever since that one class. And there was a second class I took. When you're in grad, you can take studio courses, and I took my first one, I believe, with Professor Gildersleeve, and I got so much work done in that class, not just because of, like, everybody in my class was really, like, busting their balls to get some stuff done, and you work around some great artists, and it really, like, helps you grow, too. So I would say those two courses really helped me the most.
I think we also have to mention Dave Gildersleeve's Background Props and Structures class.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the best technical classes I've taken at the school. Dave's really good at looking at your style, and just by looking at your style and your comics, he can tell you what you're doing wrong with your perspective and what would be more effective. I know I had a hard time with perspective before I took that class, and what David figured out was I have a really cartoony style, and I was actually trying to draw too realistically in the background. His big thing was, you know, draw your backgrounds like you draw your people, and that class was it helped leaps and bounds to improve comics.
Well, for both of you guys, what sort of led you to SCAD and led you towards wanting to be in the comic industry?
You want to go first with that?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I've always been drawing comics since I was really, really young, and I had to go to, like, traditional art school. Like, I'm from New Orleans, so I went to the school there called the New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts, and I couldn't draw comics at all, and so I would pretty much be drawing, like, all these traditional art type things during the day, and at night I would just go home in my room and draw comics. And so around the end of high school, I was looking for somewhere I could go to where I could actually, like, learn about how to break into the industry, where I could go and learn how to, like, actually, like, perfect the craft and learn about just the art of storytelling. And SCAD was one of the few places that I found that not only were accredited, but they were also willing to come to, like, New Orleans and talk to me, like, face to face. And I took an intro class there, and I fell in love with it, and I've been there ever since. So.
Yeah, I had a similar story. You know, I've been into comics since I was a little kid, and I've been drawing comics, and they really seemed to fit for me because it was both storytelling along with pictures, because one or the other never seemed enough. And I remember I was in 10th grade, and I was really kind of floundering because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do later in life with art and writing. And one of the SCAD representatives came to my high school in Dearborn, Michigan, and she mentioned, she saw two of us in the back kind of drawing comics, and she said, you know, we have a major for that. And it just kind of, it struck me at that time. I was like, wow, they actually have a major for drawing comics in college. And when I went and checked out the school, like my mom always says, it just seemed like a fit. And it took me a long time, actually, to get down to SCAD because I got sick right out of high school and I had to put off college. But once I got down here, it was just amazing, and it all worked out really well.
Yeah, I'd imagine it had to feel like, some, you know, almost like a godsend, because I know myself talking with guys like Mike Norton, who's a friend of ours, and Scotty, I'm sure you could attest to this too, is that, you know, like when we were growing up, there was nowhere really. I mean, there was a Cubert school existed, but other than that, you know, it was like your local colleges or even universities, it was life drawing and anatomy and stuff, but there's nowhere that taught you how to draw a comic, how to create a comic book. So I'd imagine it had to be, you know, just an amazing thing to be able to find a place that really could direct you in exactly what you're looking for.
It really was. And I mean, it was an amazing process to go through just as you were acclimating to the classes. I know I was sitting in our sequential art history, and I called my mom after our first test, and I told her, I was like, you know what? I just got asked questions about Batman for college credit. And it just made a lot of sense. I mean, it's when you come in, you know, nobody, you know, takes you seriously when you're a kid and you say you want to draw comics. And when you come to SCAD, the nice thing is none of the professors question it. They talk seriously about it with you. They treat it seriously. And it's you know, it's not a joke to them, which is nice because it's not a joke to us. So.
I was going to say, do you ever take a test that has, like, continuity questions?
You know, it's like, you know, I think my favorite question was, who was the first superhero to ever wear tights? It was a Phantom, but...
Nice. Look at the big brain on Mia. All right.
I'm John Byrne, and whenever I'm not boiling babies on the internet, I'm listening to Around Comics.
Well, talking about going back to Jeremy, and can I call you Professor?
you can call me Professor Mullins, or you can call me Professor Mullins. Either way, not just either, man. Call me Jeremy.
Take
call
it easy.
Just don't ever call him late for dinner.
What led you to SCAD?
Well, I actually went to SCAD myself. I went into the grad program. I did a comic strip for Alt Weekly down in Florida for about 3 years. Then I moved along and I became a political cartoonist for the Boca Raton News in South Florida. I did that right around a year, and it was a good job. It was definitely a good opportunity for someone as young as I was at the time. Political cartoonists tend to be, you know, kind of an older crowd, but, you know, day after day, I've always been interested in world events, but, like, day after day after day, when you're just seeing, you know, what's going on in the world and you know, pretty much all the bad stuff that's going on in the world. I've always read comics, and I just started thinking, well, it might be nice to be proactive instead of waiting for the world to do something and then kind of commenting on it. It might be nice to tell a story. And I was approaching the final year of college, and I found SCAD randomly on the internet. Well, actually, I found a website with some work of one of the students, and then I noticed that he had graduated from SCAD with a degree in sequential art, and that was the first I'd ever heard about that. And so I emailed him, and then I contacted the department and drove to Savannah and took a tour, and that's what led me here. I mean, it was definitely the fact that it was accredited was really cool, because I always had the intention of becoming a professor. I always thought that I would become an art history professor because, you know, at the time, I didn't think that you could become a sequential art professor. But I always wanted to teach, and I always wanted to be in the university setting, and I just count myself very fortunate to have come across SCAD.
So whenever people ask you what you do for a living, do you tell them that you teach people how to make comic books?
Focus on web comics. That's what I tell them.
All right. Very cool.
How do they respond?
Ha ha.
No.
Well, I guess I don't know. Sometimes I come across as pretty serious dude, so they're polite. I don't get a whole lot of laughing or scoffing. I think I don't get as much static as maybe some more of the traditional cartoonists, because I get to attach the word web to it, you know, and I think people are still mystified by the web. It's like this, you know, great almighty Oz that is this magical thing that you know, you can't fathom how it works or something. And so I think I get a little cred there with the norms, but you know, there's a big trend, and I see it in our department. When I was in school, we were like 90% male, and everybody there was drawing superhero comics. And now look across the department and the student body, and you know, the superhero crowd's there. They're still there in big numbers, and it's awesome that they're there. But also in big numbers are young women who are drawing, you know, and in my opinion, they make excellent students. You know, the difference between a 21-year-old male and a 20-year-old female is big.
Mm-hmm.
And in my teaching experience, the females tend to pay attention a little bit more. But we have just some terrific students that do, you know, everything from indie autobiographical. We're getting a great crop of web cartoonists coming up, doing a lot of journal comics, getting their stuff out there. You know, people doing stuff, like I said, for manga, and we're getting a lot of storyboard people who are coming in very, very serious about the profession of storyboarding, and so it's a much more diverse place than it used to be.
Well, as far as like diversity, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit. As far as you know, your group of students that are there, we see from comic book fans just out in general populace that there are divisions of I'm a Marvel guy or I'm a DC guy or I only read independents. Do you have kind of those groups at SCAD in your students and or faculty? Do you have the superhero set and then the independent fans, or does everyone really kind of integrate kind of all of the different genres?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Jared and Mia address the students, and I'll address the faculty. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Well, student-wise, you definitely have the indie crowd, you have the manga crowd, you have the mainstream crowd, and I mean, when I first got to the school, it was definitely it seemed more apparent that the mainstream crowd was a little bit larger number. Like, I've been at SCAD for over, like, 5 years now. Like, I was just undergrad, and now I'm doing grad there. But now, like, I mean, you see everybody, like, kind of, there's so much overlap now. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's styles tend to combine so much to where, like, those lines are kind of getting sort of fuzzy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's really predominant anymore. I mean, I'm sure there's students in SCAD that would like to tell you that there's a predominant group, but, We're definitely not, like, segregated by what we read. And if anything else, we're tending to get a lot of mixed groups. Like you were saying, like, we have, like, maybe an indie mainstream or an indie manga. But we all, you know, it's definitely mixed now to the point that it's sort of even numbers.
You get those battles every now and then.
Yeah. Just every once in a while. It's usually the manga kids versus the mainstream kids. But that goes away fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other tentacle books.
Well, we actually
it's like
see
skateboarders versus rollerbladers.
and everybody picks on the emo kids.
We see in our listeners in the last year and a half that a lot of people are just fans of comics and good comics. And
yeah.
While they may have grown up on superhero comics, they're very open to reading independents and vice versa. So you know, it's interesting to see what it's like in an educational environment like that. Jeremy, how about the faculty? You got any like Batman will beat up Spider-Man arguments or anything like that?
No, I mean the faculty gets along 100%. You know, I'll stress that. I've never worked in a place where everybody gets along as well as they do in our department. It's a really cool thing, and I'm just pleased to be part of it. I'd like to comment like something on the student body. I think, yeah, kind of going along with what Jarrett and Mia were saying, I think as a professor, what I'm seeing is that, you know, for a long time, all the comics you could get in America were the mainstream superhero comics, and there's some great work. There's some great stuff to see there. And then in the 90s, once all the manga started to come over, we had this real early body of just manga imitators. And Americans working in a manga style. But at first, it was a lot of students were just kind of borrowing the surface without looking at some of like the more unique storytelling devices that manga has historically employed. But now I'm seeing a generation of kids that have not only grown up absorbing their Green Lanterns, their Neil Adams and their Jack Kirby's, but have also absorbed a lot of European comics, like their Black Sads with the Japanese comics. And so we're getting the first generation of more of a cosmopolitan reader, and that's showing in their work.
Yeah, I have to say, I think if anybody's like the new kid on the block, the European market is just starting to show up, because I know Chrissy Delk, who's another friend of ours that graduated from SCAD, and I, we're classified heavily into that European style, but it's starting to show more prevalently in some of the other people in the department, which is cool. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah, you're right in Scotty's wheelhouse now, because he's been turning us on to European, not even, I wouldn't call them comics, but these great collections.
I would call them comics.
Tom would call them comics.
I would call them things of heaven. items from the heavens.
Yeah, he just dropped up.
I think the technical term is mana. Yes. Mana is the technical word.
Yeah, he just he brought Black Sad in a couple weeks ago and just blew us away.
It's
beautiful,
man. It was.
Whatever.
I wasn't that impressed.
Europeans are just really, really good with world building. They're so strong with world building. And for a long time, that was lagging a little bit, especially in the early 90s. But now, the students in their world building, they're really getting that influence. I'm seeing traces of that in their work,
Well, one of the things I'm wondering is, as a teacher in these classes, how do you come up with your programs? Or because there's really been such a void of educational material about how to create comics. I mean, you have a few Will Eisner books, and you have some of the Kubert stuff, but overall, there hasn't been a ton of material produced
about the craft
of creating comic books. Is it based mostly on your own experiences? Do you look at those other works, or what are you using, and what is the other faculty members using to create their programs?
Well, what's really cool is actually there are a lot of books that have been coming out in the last few years on the craft of sequential art. I mean, everybody's pretty familiar with Scott McCloud's book and his recent one, Making Comics. If you're listening and you're a young comic creator and you're starting to become serious about creating comics, definitely pick up McCloud's book. It's called Making Comics. It came out last year, and so far it's very good. I would recommend that as the first thing people check out. Our faculty, our chairman John Lowe is in the process of developing some technique books. Mark Neese and Bob Pendarvis, the founders of the department, they came out with a book called The Bristol Board Jungle. You can check that out. But you're right. I mean, compared with other disciplines like graphic design or film, there is a great disparity. And McCloud's book, Reinventing Comics, was really good about making a case for webcomics and why we should all, or why independent creators, should consider that and move in that direction. But at the end of the book, it kind of left us hanging a little bit. I know I read it and I was like super energized. I was like, great, how do I do it now? And we find out how to do it. We break it down. And when we create new classes, we have to, there's actually an arduous kind of form that we have to go through and outline everything, but it's good. It's good that we have that because it provides the structure for developing a class. What are the outcomes? What are the objectives? How are you going to attain those things? What materials will the students produce to prove or to show mastery of the objectives of the class? And when you really work through that, and if a class develops. And then it goes to a curriculum committee who, you know, are career academics who have, you know who can tell what works and what won't work, and they'll come back with suggestions, and then we'll make those, and then the class happens, and that's how it happens.
Well, you teach webcomics, and that's obviously something that's come onto the scene in the last decade. We, as comic fans, one of the things that we do is sit around and talk about where the industry is going and how it's changing, how monthly titles are switching over to trades and the influence of manga, European comics, etc. Now, this is actually your guys' business. And from the educational side, do you, as faculty and students, try and forecast where the industry is going and plan out, you know, how you're going to enter your careers with that kind of forecasting of industry trends?
Well, yeah, well, to a degree, absolutely. I mean, I think that we would be remiss if we didn't, and I don't think we would serve our students. And I don't think that we would continue to grow in numbers if we didn't. But I'd like to stress that first and foremost, our main goal in our department is good storytelling. That is our number one goal. Kids come in, and we want to make them excellent visual storytellers. We always have an eye out for, you know, trends, for growing areas or opportunities to grow. And that's one good thing about our department being part of the Savannah College of Art and Design, because they have the resources to allow us to develop classes, to allow us to hire expert faculty to come in and address these emerging concerns. We definitely try to keep an eye out to the future. We keep an ear to the ground and adjust the curriculum, you know, as the industry, as comics and how as the creation of comics change.
Well, if you need someone to do a course on comic book podcasting, we work pretty cheap.
Awesome. I'll pass that along, certainly.
Just a second ago, you talked about storytelling being your end-all, be-all kind of goal of what you teach there. Incorporating that, do you guys – this could be for both of you or all of you guys, all three of you. Do you guys make students or do you, as students – ever take acting classes or anything like that to incorporate into the storytelling? I think in comics sometimes that's one thing that definitely lacks a little bit is not remembering that you're the acting that goes into on top of the craft of actually drawing figures. So do you guys actually do students get the chance to actually take those classes or do you encourage them in any way?
They can take those classes through the theater department. We're not specifically encouraged because a lot of times what happens in class, I know especially in like Bob Pendarvis's class, Bob brings in models for like costume modeling, and a lot of times what he'll do is he'll make the students get up like one at a time and he'll make them act out something with the model so that everyone can draw and also have a turn up on stage sort of a thing so that they know what it's like to both be drawing and to be acting it out, because I know Bob in particular is one that's very vocal about being the actor and the person behind the stage. I'm from a little bit of an unusual situation in that my mom made me take acting lessons when I was little because I was so shy. And so I naturally do it now. Even when I'm writing, I tend to like act it out at my computer. And I know there's a lot of people who do that in the department, and we all laugh about it and are kind of quiet, but you do tend to pick that up by the time you're a senior. And I know a lot of people now in the department who tend to act out their scenes, on their own.
You talked about costumes. I know we have that room that's full of, like, weapons.
And yeah.
I remember when I was taking Paul Hudson's class, his conceptual class, and I was holding an axe that I was trying to draw in my comic. And, I mean, once you actually hold it, the way you draw it is totally different because you realize the weight, the physics involved with it. And, like, just, I mean, you do have those opportunities to, like,
yeah,
try new things out and see how things feel. And
I think that's one of those things that when you are sitting in class and you're like, well, how does somebody hold this? Right away our professors are like, well, why don't you get up and do it? And we go down and grab like a weapon from the weapons closet or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And,
grab an axe.
Yeah, I
said a claymore asshole.
I do that at
home. A scimitar.
I do that at home all the time, but, you know, it has nothing to do with comics.
These are cheap imitations. We get, like, the actual, like, stuff. Like, our I mean, we have a suit of AC 19th century German armor, but what you fail to realize is that the chainmail and the armor itself, that weight is distributed equally all over your body, and there's actually, you're, surprisingly, you can move around a lot more than you thought you could.
Right.
And, you know, to where I might have before drawn a knight or whatever, you know, moving almost like robot-like or very stiff, you can kind of learn that, you know, what the range of motion is, where, how they, in what ways can they move quickly, and then what ways are they constrained because you've actually had the armor on and you've actually got to hack at the ground or a tree with a sword, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it helps with your LARPing too.
this is another quick one on the class side. You offer classes on inking, like just on inking?
Yeah.
Now, is there a drawing prerequisite before you go into the inking class?
Yeah, our curriculum is pretty, like, guided. Obviously, like most colleges, you have 100, 200, 300, 400 level courses, and before you can progress and go on to you know, higher level courses, you have to have the prereqs.
Right.
And so, actually, penciling, inking 1 and 2 are actually some of our later courses in the curriculum.
And they come before the advanced inking class, which is just inking. So you have a foundation to build upon by the time that you get to the inking class.
So there is a drawing foundation before you start to learn.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Now, we've talked.
There's not only just drawing, but, like, storytelling, pacing, perspective, you know, all before you, all of that comes before you even think about finishes or applying digital color or the typography.
Do you have a class on lettering?
I just took that class last semester. It was taught by Professor Duncan. Yeah, he did this comment. Fellow head Todd. Yeah, it was a really good class because he not only taught you like basic typography, but how to pretty much hand letter like and do all your like sound effects like hand letter and how to incorporate word balloons to the pages and make it so it doesn't look, because I know sometimes digital lettering can look kind of choppy and separate from the art. So, I mean, just to have a hand lettering class, it was offered once, and I hope they do it again.
Yeah, Jay said he's going to do it. But again, like, to show, like, how we're looking at market trends and stuff, along with thinking about everything else, that was primarily a hand lettering class. But I know Dave took one of the tutorials that Matt Rosano, another student in our department who's a professional right now, wrote about doing digital lettering to make it look like hand lettering, and he incorporated that into his classes as well so that you kind of get it from all sides. So it was really nice. That lettering class was really good.
Yeah, it was a great class.
Well, we got some. We have some forum posts. I know you guys were nice enough to come on the forum earlier this week and answer some of the questions. But for people that may not come to our forum, we wanted to ask you some of these questions from the forum members. So we'll start with G Dog. He said, "Do you teach students the basics of videography? Far too often, I read comics that ignore film and video theory, including axis crossing, match action, and other." Compositional rules, it makes the action harder for me to follow and reduces my enjoyment of the book. So is there any videography or film type cinematography classes that are required or incorporated into the program?
Yes, actually. We don't specifically have like a videography class where we go around with a camera, but what all of the professors do, and I'm pretty sure it's almost everybody, we do have required text for each of the classes, and from scripting to like pen and ink and even some of the just very specific classes, there's always some kind of a film book that is incorporated into the class. Pen and ink one, we actually handle a lot of the storytelling in terms of film shots and how you would look at it. Like if you were filming a movie, how would you do the scene? We tend to do it because we focus so much on storytelling. We tend to incorporate cinematography in, even if we're not carrying around the camera. Even our scripting, we think about it in terms of movie scenes and that. How would you get this across if you had a camera? And then how are you going to translate that onto the page? So, yes, we do that in all of our classes.
Great. Braxton, who's also a Georgia resident.
He has a cool name, too.
Yeah, Braxton Harrison.
Mr. Harrison.
Broxton is what I call him.
He says, I see the Sequential Art Building for SCAD every time I visit Savannah. I'm really looking forward to this episode, though I can't really think of any good questions. Oh, yeah. Are there many students over the age of 30 in attendance?
Yes, there are, actually. Like, I know a lot of my buddies, like, I know I played on the forum, but I have a buddy who's a bartender who's 30. I have another friend who's, like, in his 50s. A bunch of people, a bunch of, like, dads and moms.
Yeah, we have a lot of dads.
Do you sell shirts that say SCAD Dad? Yeah, you should. And if you do, you owe me money.
If you don't...
So you do have non-traditional students at SCAD.
Based on age. Okay.
On the professor end, are all your professors, were they working or are they currently working professionals? Or, like, what's the background of the majority of the faculty of the Sequential Art program?
Okay, I can tell you.
I mean, you don't have to give me a detailed history of every faculty member unless they're hot.
Well, there's like a lot of, you know, a lot of our faculty obviously are currently working on projects. Actually, I'll start out by talking about Paul Hudson. I mean, there's a lot of myth and legend about Paul Hudson, but he's our main anatomy and our world building guy and our illustration guy. I mean, he worked for NASA. I mean, he was like top level designer for NASA. And when he comes in with some of his personal pages, and you'll be like, oh, wow, Paul, that's like a really cool spaceship you just drew. He'll look at you stone faced and say, that's the way it'll be. And it's like creepy. I mean, because that's the way it will be. Disney snatched him right out of high school, and he designed a lot of the theme parks, essentially. And so in terms of world building, there's no one, I would think, more qualified than Paul Hudson. We got a guy, Tom Lyle, who handles, like, the superhero class. He worked on Spider-Man for a while, Robin. Mark Neese, again, he writes. He writes for all kinds of different things. His current graphic novel is Trailers. It just came out. He did it in conjunction with Julie Collins, who's another one of our professors who has a long professional illustration background. Sean Crystal at our Atlanta campus, he's working on a project right now with B. Clay Moore, the guy who did Hawaiian Dick. He's working on a creator-owned project with him. He's also working on a graphic novel with Andy Parks, the guy from Astonishing Ant-Man.
But Clay Moore and Andy Parks are both bums, so tell them to... Yeah.
Chris could not wait to...
Fire those professors.
Hi, this is Andy Parks. You are listening to Around Comics.
Pat Quinn, who does just a ton of work for Devil's Due, a lot of the G.I. Joe stuff. He did Captain Marvel, Gen 13. He did Phantom for a while. Dave Duncan, he does this really cool indie comic, Pillowhead Todd. Who else do we have? Oh, Paul, John Lowe, our department chair, John Lowe, has inked everything under the sun, Batman, Nightwing, X-Books. He, again, Archie, he does a lot of stuff for Devil's Due as well. One of our professors, David Gildersleeve, he does a lot of fine art stuff. It's very interesting. Savannah, the city in which our main campus is located, is a really big arts community, art town. There's galleries everywhere, and he does these really, really just gorgeous, they're sequential and they tell a story and they're awesome, but they're sold in galleries, and it's just a real neat direction to take sequential art in. Bob Pendarvis is working on three screenplays currently. One's an urban comedy, one's a horror movie. I don't think he can really talk about it because of non-disclosure stuff.
Sure.
He works on an independent comic called Dr. Mittens, too.
Dr. Mittens. Don't forget Dr. Mittens.
So yes. You know, we're actually literally right around the corner from Devil's Due.
Do you know Michael Sullivan?
Yes.
He's one of our guys.
He's one of
our grads.
And Sean Murphy graduated from there as well, right?
Yeah.
He's really good.
He did Joker Year One, right?
No, Scarecrow Year One.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a good friend. Yeah, we're good friends with all the Devil's Due guys and Mikey and Sean and
Tim Seeley.
And,
yeah, they're literally like a block and a half from here.
I mean, our alumni alumni, I mean, we've got just some really strong alumni. Like, you know, I hear you guys talking about the Luna Brothers with Ultra and Girls. Those guys came from, you know, Hack Slash. I hear you guys talking about that a lot. Emily Stone. Obviously, we mentioned Michael Sullivan before. Ross Campbell, who did that Wet Moon graphic novel for Oni. Lee Lowrich, he colors everything under the sun. He's one of the best colorists out there.
Joe Weissman?
Works for, you know, Mike Auer, does all kind of stuff. You know, we have Kristen Donaldson from DMZ, does pencils and inks and working on that supermarket thing with Brian Woods. Drew Wang and Eleanor Davis, they're really exploding. Drew Wang's really famous in the webcomic circles, but they're getting work with Disney Adventures and Fantagraphics. We're getting a lot of people who, we have a lot of students getting work with Tokyo Pop.
Christy Lewski and Heidi Arnold are two of the big ones right now. Christy's got Replay coming out, and Heidi's doing the comic adaptation for The Dark Crystal. And there's also Eric Green, who does the children's comic, Princess Missouri.
All right, well, we've got a question from Dave Wacker.
Yeah, I have a little question. I was listening to Indie Spinnerack podcast about 3-4 weeks ago, and they were up at the Center for Cartoon Studies and talking to students and professors there. And they made an interesting comparison between the Center for Cartoon Studies and the Kubert School, and I was kind of wondering where you guys fit in that the Kubert School is sort of regarded as to prep the students for going into straight into a job with one of the big companies or working in a bullpen, essentially a trade school, whereas the Center for Cartoon Studies is more for people who want to really sort of study things academically, maybe make their own books and come at it from an academic standpoint. And I was wondering, where do you guys fit in on that, and like what kind of, where's your focus? Are you more on towards one way or the other, or are you in between, or, you know, what are you prepping your students to do when they get out?
First of all, like, the Center for Cartoon Studies people, I have a lot of respect for those guys. James Sturm was one of my professors. He was a big influence on me just as an educator. I definitely take a lot of cues from James. I was a classmate of Robin Chapman, and I think they're doing really good work up there. As opposed to, like, if I understand your question correctly, I think you're saying that, you know, the Kubert School is kind of the quote-unquote superhero school, and then the Center for Cartoon Studies is a quote-unquote, you know, indie school, you know, self-publishing kind
of
thing.
Well, it would just be sort of a comparison between a trade school, which I think would be more of the Kubert School, as opposed to sort of an academic school.
Well, I mean, we're definitely more of an academic school, certainly. I mean, we have a lot of opportunities, though, to make inroads into the business with our Editor's Day and our Comics Art Forum. But let me address, I think, what I think your initial question was first, and then we'll get to those things. We have the ability to encourage our students to pursue whatever direction they choose to. We, you know, are a very large school, and we have a large faculty, and as trends and new genres and new avenues of sequential art emerge, we make sure we cover that. So we're not, I wouldn't, if someone, let's say, was very, very interested in doing syndicated comic strips, and they came to SCAD, I don't think that they would be disappointed or feel that we were a manga school or indie school or a superhero school. I think we can enable anybody to do anything that they want to do in the realm of sequential art.
Well, my next question is to the students. What's sort of like campus life like at SCAD? Well, you know, good parties, getting
dudes.
Hammered.
Yeah, 90% sausage fest, baby.
I think Jared and I are really bad people to ask. Not necessarily, but we both kind of workaholics, and
it's Friday night, so
don't live on campus anymore. Being grad students, we both live on one of the islands, and we tend to work a lot. When I did live on campus, though, it really wasn't party time. I mean, you have so many people just dedicated to what their craft is. You know, it's pretty much nose to the grindstone.
You can't really go outside in Savannah either. It's like hot as shit. You'll pass out, right?
Oh, God.
fucking nasty down there.
Jared's
humid.
Jared's from New Orleans, so he's used to it.
Yeah. Where are you from, Mia?
I'm from Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, you're Midwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too humid down there, isn't it?
It's really humid down here, and the biggest problem right now is we don't have air conditioning in our apartment.
No. I thought you were going to say demons.
We lost the claymore from the sword room.
And we don't have enough maps.
Well, actually, me, our next question is for you, and it's from Keith Cunningham, who's an aspiring writer. And he says, my question is for Mia. Would she like to draw my book?
No.
He says, I'm serious.
I get that a lot, actually. I'm going to have to pass because... I have two contracts that are pending this week, or one of them's pending this week, and another one we can't talk about. It's a big deal, but we can't talk about it yet.
Or the terrorists win.
Can't talk about the book that I'm going to be drawing.
You're previously engaged.
I was just screwed on by Iris Print to do a series called Skydrop. That'll be out in their monthly BL magazine, BL Twist, that's coming out in January of 2008. Mm-hmm. And we can't talk a lot about it right now, but the creators are both European and American, and I'm one of them. So
Do you guys teach a class in that, in like not talking about stuff? Because every comic book artist or writer, we get that all the time.
I talk about everything.
You guys don't have shit to do. You just keep telling us. Yeah, wait a month.
No, the hype machine.
I color along with my boyfriend Matt Rodano. We color for Studio 803 on top of that, and we just finished our contract with them on a book called Coin Operated Boy that was drawn by Rob Gravy, one of the other guys that goes to SCAD here, and we just started our contract with them for a 4-issue miniseries coloring a book called Miserable Dastards. And actually, when I go home tonight, I have to finish coloring the character concept art. So we've been pretty busy actually this year.
Our last forum question is from Dan C., otherwise known as Papercut. And he said, I guess I do have a question or two for Professor Mullins, or even Mia and Jared. I was curious to see if he's noticed any trends at SCAD in regards to what sequential art undergrads and grad students hope to pursue after they get their degree. Since the sequential art program covers a wide spectrum of careers... has there been any recognizable shifts over the years in what tracks people are following? Are more people coming into comics now than 5 or 10 years ago, or has other areas of interest increased, like have the ever-expanding video game industry brought in more game design hopefuls?
A lot of questions.
Yeah, there was it was a long question. Basically, what have the trends been as far as what students are coming in interested in, and as far as what tracks people are following?
Well, I know, like, personally, like, I can speak on behalf of myself and a lot of my friends, like, I'm a big video game head, and so a lot of comics that I read tend to deal with video games, and what I draw, like, when I draw Wonder Boy, I have all of those rough numbers in mind, and I also was big into graphic novels and longer stories, and I noticed, like, a lot of my peers are really into telling, like, lengthy stories over, like, a series of time, as opposed to just issues or monthly issues.
Yeah.
So that seems to be a big trend, like, right now, going towards just the graphic novel mindset of just cranking out pages and getting the books out and telling people.
And as far as having, like increases in people who are interested in doing this as a, you know, as, like, an academic career and then going on to a real career in comics, or, you know, just a greater career in comics, we had the greatest number of grad students this year. We had I think 30 more coming in the fall quarter, and that was bigger numbers than they've ever had in the department before.
Yeah, our graduate department has increased 100%. And our our undergraduate student body increased 23% over last year. So we're constantly growing, and we, you know, we mentioned earlier that early on in the department, you know, a lot of superhero stuff. Now just every genre of story, you know, under the sun, you know, there are people working on it. Jarrett's right. There are far more people taking on lengthier works, and I think that's a reflection of the department, you know, as it's grown and gotten additional faculty with industry experience, with greater storytelling experience, you know, we fine-tune the process, and we can disseminate information to the students quicker, more efficiently, and they can absorb it quicker and more efficiently, and then begin to apply it. Something new that we're seeing a lot more of is web cartoonists. I have one student, Kel McDonald. She's a 19-year-old. She does very solid work. There are certainly people in the department that do greater work, but this girl is consistent and she's tenacious. Publishes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, consistently, never fails. And she has a readership of 9,000 on her site, which if you were to be an independent cartoonist and you were to try to publish in the world of print, 10,000 is really big for an independent book, massive. And this 19-year-old student of mine, kind of a mid-tier person, has 9,000 readers, she's earning money as well. She's got banner ads on her site that generate revenue, and when I was 19, I wasn't bringing in the cash the real-world cash that she's bringing in at her age. Sorcery101.net, that's her site, but there are a lot of students doing webcomics at SCAD now. It's a growing, that's a big change.
I think one of the other things that you could count is a new thing that's been coming up through the ranks is that a lot of students aren't afraid to go out and self-publish, whether it's through the web or through, like, Lulu.com. I mean, look at Jared. I mean, Jared's somebody who's exceptionally dedicated to just producing his own comics. And, we all send things out to editors and that. Jared's put out, second Lunar book is coming out this summer, isn't it?
August, 220 pages of Lunar Blood Awesomeness.
Yeah. And what was the first book? The first book was like 350,
wasn't it? It was 324, and that came out last August. So I could even see, like, with SCAD, like, my pacing, my speed is getting better. And I think the quality of the second book is a lot better, too.
Yeah, Lunar Boy is a lot of fun. I was going to commend you on that. You have a very nice brush style to your work. We've got the web address for your webcomic at the website on our forum for both of you. And I would definitely encourage everyone listening to check out Jarrett and Mia's work at their webcomics.
Don't ask them to do your book, though.
Yes, just don't email them.
Don't email them. They're busy. They've got something coming out next month.
I want to say that our webcomic Wonderland is actually drawn by my friend Chrissy Delk, who also drew our graphic novel that just came out this last Wednesday, Paintings of You.
Well, do you guys have any time to read comics at all? And if so, what are you reading? What are you checking out?
The only thing I'll be really honest, I haven't had a lot of time to keep up in comics right now just because of the writing constraints that I'm under. But I do keep up with BPRD. My friend Guy Davis draws it, and I always love his artwork, and I just love the Hellboy series in general, and I think that book's a lot of fun, so I do try and keep up with that one.
Can we have his number? We'd like to have him.
Yeah, we actually want to talk to Guy.
Yeah, just send us.
All right. Actually, you know what? Just if you go to GuyDavisArtworks.com, all of his contact information is there, and Guy answers all his email personally.
Okay.
And he's a really nice guy.
So. I'll tell him Mia sent us.
Yeah, if we tell him that you sent us, we'll get him, right? Because I want to talk to him about Sandman Mystery Theater myself. So.
Well, that was a great series.
Oh, yeah. How about you, Jarrett? What do you read?
I listen to your show quite a bit, and I hear when you have artists and writers and guests on, and they're like, oh, wow, I'm so busy. I don't screw that. I don't know what's up with these people, how they can keep away from comics. I read every night at least 2 hours right before I go to bed. I'm reading all kind of stuff. The Scott Pilgrim stuff, I had a student turn me on to that. I just, reading Jarrett's Lunar Boy stuff, obviously, my students' work. but in addition to all that, I've just been, like, really into, like, the Jack Kirby Fourth World stuff. I had this dream the other night.
Is it about the Forever People? Because I had that dream, too.
World as a musical with, like, Judas Priest and Dragon Force music. And ever since then, I've just been just hitting it hard again. So reading a lot of that.
You want a super cycle.
Both books that I can get my hands on. That was just excellent. Joe Sacco's Palestine I read recently. Really good. That's comics as journalism. And where I also work for a newspaper, I can really appreciate where he's coming from with his work. So I just like just looking at how pretty the line work is. I'm trying to think of what else. Marvel post Civil War. I have to tell you, I abandoned Marvel for a while, for a long while, and how things are after Civil War. You know, there are cool characters again. You know, and so I read a lot of web comics, Softer World, Perry Bible Fellowship.
Mine is good. Mine is in Crown Buffalo.
Those are really good.
Demian 5. There's a European guy, Demian 5, who's probably the best web cartoonist out there, in my opinion.
Do you read New X-Men?
Do I read New X-Men? I'll pick it up in the shop for Scotty's artwork.
Okay.
What's that? That doesn't mean I read the story.
Scotty heard his name.
I visually scan Scotty's work. I was really a big fan of the New Warrior stuff. Like,
even without the skateboard?
good decision. I mean, I don't care who gave you crap about that.
I tried to get rid of that fucking helmet on Nova, but nobody was having it.
And I wanted to warn you about the Green Lantern stuff. By the time they get to the third showcase, it'll be the part where Hal Jordan becomes a insurance claims adjuster. Right around issue 50.
And it can't be any worse than the Hal Jordan socialite. I mean, no wonder he's got those white gloves. They could be his evening gloves. I mean, the high society concerns of those old Green Lanterns are just so weird.
Going to costume balls.
You know? And that's what's so cool about looking at old comics. I mean, you get a look, you know what the, I guess the pop culture concept of what was important. You know, it's kind of like a history lesson. It's kind of weird.
There you go. Well, guys, are you going to be heading up to the Heroes Con next week?
Oh, I'll be there. Looking forward to the two next weekend.
Wait, come by and give me some money. That's Scotty. This is Scotty. I need to clear that up real quick. Scotty says, come by my table and give me money.
Yeah, Scott, we'll have a booth there. I won't be with the team that's at Heroes Con, but we've got a booth there, and we've got five guys going up, and, you know, they're doing instructional things, and definitely stop by the table and check it out.
Well, guys, it has been a lot of fun talking with you and finding out more about the Savannah College of Art and Design. Thank you, first of all, so much for listening to the show and contacting us. It was really a treat for us to know that you listened to the show. And
it was very cool for you guys to contact us, and so glad that you listen.
Absolutely.
You know, like I said before, I know, you know, when I was growing up and I wanted to be in comics, it didn't obviously.
Oh, the sad story.
The sad story.
Oh, be a comic.
I couldn't make it in comics.
I will remember you.
You know, we don't discriminate. As Jared said, we don't discriminate based on age. It's never too late.
Yeah, well, tell my wife and two kids that. I don't think it's going to happen. You're not seeing me there.
There's a guy, Anthony Fisher, in our department who's got a wife and three kids.
Don't make me feel so bad about my life.
What's wrong with kids?
Come on, man up. Come on, cowboy up.
Not happening.
Hey, as soon as you bring the satellite school to Chicago, maybe we'll both think about it.
It would be called CAD.
I mean, we have one in Atlanta now. Such a CAD. We have one in La Crosse, France. So, hey.
Hey, there you go.
Maybe we can catch a Cubs game. That would be awesome.
Hey, anytime. Hey, Jeremy, the only thing I'm going to ask you is that you come back next year with a couple more graduate students, and we get an update on what is going on at the Savannah College of Art and Design Sequential Art Program.
It would be my pleasure. Any time that you guys call, I'll pick up the phone, and I'll make sure I have students in tow.
All right.
What if it's during the 2 hours while you're reading? Can you still pick it up?
I will put the comic book down for you guys.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
And Mia and Jarrett, please do us a favor and keep us updated on your career paths and how things are working out for you. And please know that you're welcome anytime on Around Comics.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you guys, you have a wonderful evening, and thank you again so much for spending your Friday night with us. We'd like to thank Jeremy, Mia, and Jarrett for sharing their evening with us. If you'd like to know more about the Savannah College of Art and Design, you can visit their website at www.scad.edu. You can also visit our forum and join in the conversation about this episode. At aroundcomics.com.
Yes, you can.
All right.
When it's up, when the forum, when the site's running.
Yes.
That was all CBRs.
Can we still share a mic?
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You have your own.
Oh, you have your own mic.
Give me this.
There's a few different ways that you can interact with Around Comics. One of those is our listener hotline.
Death threats.
Mr. Sal.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Maybe.
Hey, guys. It's Simon calling from Ottawa. I'm a little bit behind on this, but I just wanted to wish John all the best in his new job at the Knicks. Maybe sad not to have him in the Around Comics show, but at least we still have him in Word Balloon. Good job, John, and take care.
It's very
everybody
sad.
Misses, yeah, everybody misses John.
It's been very
already.
Sad. Like, nobody's actually going, oh, yeah, good job. You know,
you got a good job in the field.
Something's
going to
pay you, you know? They're all like, ooh, why?
It sucks.
We love
leaving.
John.
Yeah, we do love John. And it's great for John that, yeah. You know, he's
hello, everybody. Oh.
Hello again.
Yeah.
No, nobody can. So we can't even
yeah, we
try.
Can't even do it. We got to retire
it's
yeah.
Just.
I think it's nice that we have the very polite Canadian, which sends us a message about that, you know.
Polite.
Proving once again that everyone from Canada is nice and polite, so thank you, Simon.
Except those French Canadians.
Yes, except unless you're from Quebec.
I fucking hate that.
Another way to interact with the show is by sending us email. You can do that at info@aroundcomics.com, or you can email us personally at Chris, Sal, or Tom.
Scotty.
Yeah, why can't I get one?
You want one? You really want one?
Hook it up.
All right, Scotty at aroundcomics.com. No, it's going to forward to you.
Scottie.
I get
his
junk mail.
I do get a lot
of
Cialis ads,
you know
Viagra.
If you do get a lot of that, cancel that shit. I don't want it. I don't need it.
Well, we do have a couple emails
you're
this week.
It.
Tom?
No, you don't care what you want.
I need one of them. I found it. I'm here. I'm paying attention. There's no beating around the bush that you like Queen and Country, just like I do. And so I'm wondering, have you been reading Valentine from Red Eye Press or Perfect Storm from Hero Street Press? That? Both books have a similar feeling as Queen and Country. They both have a female as a main character, and both are assassins. I think if you don't know these books, you would like them. The publishing schedule is just as irregular as Queen and Country, so even in that, they are similar. I'm very much enjoying your show, which results in a lot more comics that I am spending my money on. Keep up the good work on the show. Greetings, Eric. Oyen Hassan.
Oyen Hassan. Yes, and that email, I trimmed it down. He has either emailed before or was a frapper mapper. Turned him down? And apparently we butchered his name.
So.
It's Eric. I don't know how. It's really simple. It's pretty much like Smith, right?
Yeah.
With like nine more letters.
I think it's Unhausen.
But just sign it as Eric and you won't have that.
Eric O.
Eric O. All right, we have another one. Says, hey guys, listener from the UK here. Love the podcast and just wanted to say what a great job you're doing. I recently picked up Mouse Guard on your recommendation, so many thanks. Keep up the good work, and that is from Mechanics.
And I believe we're going to be talking to Mouse Guard creator David Peterson
couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Sometime in the month of June.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one is from Chris79. He said, love the show, or maybe it's a she, I don't know. Just got finished listening to episode 105 while at work. Scotty is a great addition to the show and usually has me laughing my ass off here at work. Keep the shows coming. So there you go, Scotty. Little love for you.
He's less funny in person.
They love me.
You know,
everybody loves
you know,
they love me.
Someone in your position probably has a lot of time to set up fake email accounts.
Chris 79.
You know I would probably
quote
79.
Unquote.
I wouldn't use that. I wouldn't use that number. It's
69.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
Because I'm a man.
Because I eat raw ground beef.
Right. Well, Scotty, why don't you finish up our listener emails?
Ooh, now you have to work.
Really?
Yes, you work for that money.
It's because this one has my name in it too. It's
show's getting
about
better
myself.
And better all the time. Scotty Young is a fun / unpolite addition to the crew.
Fun / unpolite.
Too bad about Suntress. He didn't die. He had a
God rest his soul.
I will remember you. Norton should change that sketch from Captain America hugging Eazy-E to Captain America hugging
Suntress in heaven.
We don't hear as much from Word Balloon lately, and now he won't be on your show. Where's our weekly Suntress like we used to have?
Sorry.
That was all in caps. He pissed off.
I believe that John with the new job, which he's now... settled into a routine. I would expect that you will hear at least 4 word balloons.
And John will be back sometime. Yeah. It just won't be every week.
We'll dig him up and dust him off.
He'll be back.
That's a great compliment, though. Fun slash unpolite. Although, that's one of my favorite ones. Fuck yeah.
I've heard that Milton Berle described that one. Fun slash unplay.
I was going to say that one other thing about John is I know that he too is regretting the fact that he can't show up every week because he keeps calling us every other day.
Yeah,
it's either me or Chris. No.
I talked to John twice today. He calls me up. He's like, "Yeah, I watched the series finale of Life on Mars. I really liked it."
He called me.
All right, that's cool.
Okay,
John.
Goodbye.
He called me. Yeah, and I washed my car today. And I want to tell everybody to join our friends of the program. Go to aroundcomics.com where you can download and print out our LCS challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the store. If they do, send us an email and we'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
Come visit us at Comic Space or MySpace or whatever website we don't even know about yet.
That's comicspace.com/aroundcomics or myspace.com/aroundcomics.
Don't assume, Tom.
You can do my personal favorite, and that is leaving us a review at the iTunes Music Store. Special thanks to Spencer Douglas, The Exclaimer, The Glass the Piano, Adam DeMars, and AJM Cinema.
Yes.
So and, the whole cinema?
I believe so.
If you want to tell us how good we are, you can go to the website, too.
There's plenty of ways to tell us how great we are.
You can tell us how bad we are as well.
Well, yeah, but don't. Don't do that.
Email Scotty about
that. Check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, opinions, sports scores, and political intrigue.
And weather. Raw Grumpy.
The Cardinals are now in second place, just 6 games behind the Brewers.
That's something they should be proud of.
Yeah. Yeah, and 4 games under 500.
What is happening?
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcasts.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at Around Comics.
Psych!
Or not.
And thank you to InStock Trades for sponsoring this episode. Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
We are proud to help support the Euro Initiative. Euro creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809, but try not to call while they're recording a podcast.
Sorry. And please remember our Hero Initiative contest. Go be a hero. We are almost
donate so guys like Scotty Young don't have to blow people for money in the parking lot.
Damn. I don't have to do that now.
You made it big time, man.
Later.
Shit.
In life.
I thought it went X-Men, HJs, then BJs.
Will you? I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Jeremy Mullins.
Don't let Mia your Fancy, light.
Jared Williams. Scotty Young.
The ghost of John Sundress.
Hello. Goodbye, everybody.
Bob and Sal. Another Friday night wasted. Join us again on Monday for another full-length episode.
Yeah, you poor bastards.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
John Suntress's crypt.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.
Is he a cross-dresser?
No, yes, he is. And sweet. He also has a huge penis.
Nice!
He's dead!
We don't have that in common. I have big balls, but
I'm sure in heaven it is the rest of it.
Yeah, it's average.